The law of Moses, as I've said, was given as a schoolmaster or a tutor to bring Israel to Jesus. That's the law. It says in Romans 1:20, for since creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. You know, people are without excuse. They've seen God. They don't have to be, look, Paul is saying here, there's people who have not heard the gospel in this world, the unreached people, however, they should know about God. They should know by just looking at God's creation and by a conscience. Because all man, all woman have got a conscience. So they should know. They'll know they're doing wrong. Whether they've heard the gospel or not, they will know that there's something wrong within. Man are without excuse. The law does not justify us. It does not make us right with God. The law does not sanctify us. It does not take us deeper. It keeps us on the surface. Like the coal miners in Wales. Remember the coal mines? The coal miners didn't stay on the surface to get coal. Where did they go? They went deep. And that's where you and I have to go. But to go deep, there's a cost. And the question is, are you prepared to pay that cost? And what is that cost? It's about denying yourself. It's about coming against these passions. It's about saying no to sin. It's about getting down and praying. It's about crying out. We sang that song, I'm desperate for you. How many of us have got that desperation for God? I myself am desperate for God. Paul, as we'll come on to as in our summary, is in a desperate situation. He wants God so much in his life because he's aware of what's going on inside. Aware of the battle that's raging against his spirit. And when we become born again, when the spirit meets the flesh, there's a battle. And we'll always have that battle until the Lord returns. You know, the law could not produce fruit because it brought death. Anyone who tried in their own strength to follow the law, impossible. Salvation did not come through the law. It was just a shadow pointing to Christ. We are called to bear fruit in the Spirit. We are called to love one another. We're called to serve one another. We're called to go out into the community and share the gospel. We're called to give. We're called to receive. To receive foreigners. We've got Ukrainians up in our church, and we're putting them in houses. And we had the Iranians before that. And you know, we're called to receive. We're called to be God's hands and feet. We are called to bear fruit. Here's another challenge. What fruit? What fruit is going on in your individual lives, but also in your church life? Oh, come on, we can all tell a fruitful tree. You know? If we had a tree here regarding the symbolic of this church's fruit, would there be fruit on it? I hope so. I don't know you that well, but I know you're a loving church. I know I know that you love the Lord. I know that, you know, I don't know you that well, but I recognize that, you know, there'd be fruit. What about your individual lives? John 15:16 says this: "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." That's Jesus. Our freedom is not given so that we can stop serving God, but we serve God so that we can serve Him better in the newness of this new relationship. And that was Paul. He was saying to these, you can serve Him better in the Spirit rather than following the law. Yes, the law had its purpose. It's good. It's holy. Of course it is. However, it was just there as a shadow that pointed people to Jesus. You know, I love that verse in Jeremiah 17:7-8. It says, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. And it never fails to bear fruit." Never fails. We should be constantly, season by season, as a tree bears fruit season by season, we should be bearing fruit. We should not become stagnant. We have to ask questions if as a church or as individuals, we become stagnant. There's something going on if we have. And that's when we need to seek advice. We need to seek counsel. Do you know, Paul is laying out this foundation, but he's laying it out with such openness. You know, the Bible says that, you know, come together and confess your sins and you know, create a family atmosphere. Paul is being open, he's being honest about his state. You know, there's no use you and me walking around saying, "Oh yeah, we ain't got a problem. We're all right." You know, I remember when I got saved. My mum, I knocked on my mum's door and she said to me, "Peter, are you okay?" You know, we come through that door, don't we? And people say, "You all right? Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, you all right? Yeah, I'm all right. You all right? Yeah, I'm all right. You all right? Yeah, I'm all right." My mum said to me, "You all right, Peter?" And normally I'd say, "Yeah, I'm all right, mum." But this time I said, "No, mum, I'm not all right. I'm a mess, Mum. I'm a total mess. I'm a wreck. I'm hooked on drugs, gambling. I'm drinking my life away, Mum. I'm a total wreck, Mum." And do you know, that's what Paul actually said. He said, "I'm a wretch. I'm doing the things that I don't want to do, but I'm doing them." Paul was in a battle within. And the law couldn't help him. In fact, the law put him in a prison cell. And it couldn't release him. Why? Because he knew he was guilty. When you know you're guilty, you're ready for change. When you know you're guilty, you're ready for a new life. But it's only when you come to that stage of brokenness like Paul did. "Oh, what a wretched man I am. Who will save me?" You know, notice that he says who. He didn't say, "Oh, what is there anything out there that will save me?" Who? He personalized it. Not what would save me. or how I would be saved, or where will I be saved, but who would save me? Thank God for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes, there was a battle going on in Paul's life, and he was doing the things that he shouldn't do. I mean, some people actually have said that they felt Paul was in a state of actually going through a really difficult time of sinning. But actually, is that right? I mean, I reckon that Paul was being honest and open and showing people, yes, on one hand, he's got this massive struggle with sin, but on the other hand, he's under the grace of God. But guess what, guys? That doesn't give him a license to sin. Just because you and I are under the grace of God doesn't mean to say that we should go out there and we should sin. We shouldn't do that. Next slide, please. The law exposed Paul's sin. Didn't give him a license to sin. It exposed his sin. And what did he do? What did he do? He came to God. You know, I mean, when you look back at Paul's life and you see where he came from, I mean, he was a mess. He was a persecutor. Can you imagine? God has said to him, and he's heard God speak to him, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? He's got to live with that. Now, to be honest with you now, without the grace of God, without the wonderful love of God, I'm not sure he'd have been able to live with that. But that's what God does. He covers your sin. He helps you to forget it. The Bible says, I will not remember your sins as far as the east is from the west. I'll remember your sins no more. They're gone. So Paul must have been living in that reality, that spiritual reality, where he knew where his sins had gone. Jesus had paid the price. What an awesome God we serve. Paul was honest and open about his sin. Like I said, he was like a man arrested and thrown into jail. The law will only help him if he's innocent, but he's not, he's guilty. Paul is in a battle. You and I are in a battle. And we'll be in that battle until the Lord returns. Let me encourage you. You're not schizophrenic. You're not. You're in a battle. The flesh, the enemy, come on, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I really do believe that God allows this battle to bring you and me into maturity, to bring you and me into the image of Christ. Jesus defeated the enemy when he was tempted. Jesus has experienced that battle that you and I are going through. But what did Jesus say? Get thee behind me. Next time you and I are tempted, next time you and I are encouraged to go off track, get thee behind me. Do you know, I really, really do believe that God was teaching Paul, was reminding him that, yes, you've been a Christian a good few years, but, you know, there's still a way to go. We never get to the top of the climb. We'll only graduate when we're in front of the Lord. We live in a sinful world. We're tempted by sin. But do you know what? Whereas What were we like before? I mean, we're not used to the law, are we? Because we don't come from that Jewish tradition, that Jewish belief. We're not really used to the law. We know about the law, but what were you and I like, yeah, before we became Christians? It didn't matter to us one jot, the law. It didn't matter to us who we hurt, who we got, as long as we got there. As long as we got it. That's how the world works. Get there, and if you have to stamp on a few people getting there, do it. But you know, when you and I become Christians and we get born again and we get filled with the Holy Spirit, the old nature is crucified, and yet we still face this battle. Yeah? I say the old nature. Yes, we are born again. Of course we are, but the battle remains. And then all of a sudden we get this temptation. The only difference is instead of going with that temptation, we now have the power. Because God has given you and me a choice. A choice. To go with that temptation. Or to stand on the word of God. That is amazing. You've got a choice in the spirit. So when you get that battle, that thought in your mind, that temptation in your heart, remember, you have a choice. And that's what I believe what Paul is saying. Yes, I'm a wretched man, but I've got a choice. I've got a choice to stand on the word of God and not go with the flesh or go with the enemy. Who will deliver me from this body of death? You know, Paul realizes his need, his nothingness, his failure. He's utterly dependent upon the master. Paul had to get emptied first before Paul could be filled. You have to get emptied first. Emptied of the flesh. Yes, you'll have that battle. You know, I don't know if it was here I've spoken on 2 Timothy 2:20 regarding the special utensils. In a large house, there are special utensils. Some are for ordinary use. Some are for special use. God brings out the wooden spoons for the ordinary use, but he brings out the gold and the silver for the special use. God wants to use you as a special utensil. You get used to it, and I tell you what, wow. You will be on a journey. You'll be amazed by God. Paul is desperate. He's desperate to get this message over that it's not by the law you are saved, but it's by grace. It's by the love of God. It's by the sacrifice of God, of his own son, Jesus Christ. Do you know, I was walking down the street the other day, and I looked and I thought, what's that on the floor there? And it was a parking ticket. Yeah, and I talk about parking tickets a lot. Why? Because I get them. I got one a couple of weeks ago, actually. Anyway, so I picked, and it reminded me this parking ticket I got. So I picked it up, and it was unopened. Basically, the guy had probably taken it off his windscreen and just lobbed it, and thought, "What the heck? I'm not paying that." Yeah, and walked away. So I thought, "Well, what do I do with this? There's no address on it. Yeah, there's nothing on it. It's unopened." And I thought, and the car's gone. So I thought, I'll open it. So I opened it. There it is. He's parked at 9:15 in a loading area. Yeah, so he's committed a couple of offences. He's guilty, yeah. And do you know what a thought came to me? I don't know whether it was God or what, yeah. But I had an impression on my heart, go pay for his fine. What? Go to the council and pay for his fine. And I thought, oh, it's me that, no way. But then as I'm driving, I threw it in the bin, actually, the parking ticket. As I'm driving home, God said, why didn't you pay that fine? I paid it for you. You were guilty. But I paid your fine. And it hit me. You know? To be honest with you, I once did pay a someone's parking fine. I've done it. So I know how it feels to pay someone's fine. It's lovely. However, not in the same aspect of what Jesus did. Jesus shed his blood. Not in a monetary way, but his blood. For you and for me. He brought us under the grace. Yes, of course we do. At times we do sin. Of course we do. But we have an opportunity to get right before God. Father, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. I've slipped. I've fallen, Lord. Forgive me. You're covered by grace. That's what the Bible says. And that's not giving you a license to sin. Let me keep getting that over. But you are covered. And I think that's amazing. God is an amazing God. What a wretched man I am. I just want to finish with this short little testimony. Well, it's an analogy, really, of this. Paul reckons that he's a wretched man. Who will rescue me from this body of death? That's what he says, this body of death. When we were not born again, let me tell you, we were carrying around a body of death. But you know, ironically, the Romans, especially people in authority in the Roman times, what they used to do is, if they say there was a murderer, a rapist, or whatever, yeah, basically they would strap, yeah, the dead person, say he's a murderer, they would strap the body of this dead person onto the back of this murderer who'd murdered this person. And this person would have to walk around with this dead body on his back until the body decayed that much that the fumes would kill him. And Paul is relaying this to his audience. They know what he's talking about, body of death. And that's what we are. That is what you and I are before Christ. We were walking around in a dead body, but now we're alive because when that body died, when the murderer died, someone had come and released that body. That guy was guilty. You and I have been found not guilty, praise God. And Jesus has come and lifted that body of death from us. We are not in the law. We are under grace. And that, my friends, is being released from the law and bound to Christ. Let's pray.